Shabbat Shalom. Before I begin this morning, I just want to make a quick statement that the topic we're talking about obviously today is abortion, the pro-life movement, the sanctity of human life. If you're somebody who has suffered reproductive loss or have questions about this topic, about what we're bringing up today, I encourage you to reach out to whether it's me, one of the elders. We have people involved in the pro-life movement here like Sean Spry and Rebbetzin Alexandra, as well as others. In whatever area that this topic touches you in terms of maybe getting more involved or answering questions, you know, knowing how to engage people on this crucial topic, you have a lot of resources at your disposal here at Shema. I encourage you as strongly as I can to take advantage of it. This is part of our work. This is something we want to do, and we want to help you accomplish what God wants you to do in your life as well on this important issue. All right? In 1984, President Ronald Reagan declared Sunday, January 22nd, to be Sanctity of Human Life Day. And his proclamation begins as follows. The values and freedoms we cherish as Americans rest on our fundamental commitment to the sanctity of human life. The first of the unalienable rights affirmed by our Declaration of Independence is the right to life itself, a right the Declaration states has been endowed by our Creator on all human beings. Whether young or old, weak or strong, healthy or handicapped. Since 1973, however, more than 15 million unborn children have died in legalized abortions, a tragedy of stunning dimensions that stands in sad contrast to our belief that each life is sacred. These children, over tenfold the number of Americans lost in all our nation's wars, will never laugh, never sing, never experience the joy of human love, nor will they strive to heal the sick or feed the poor or make peace among nations. Abortion has denied them the first and most basic of human rights, and we are infinitely poorer for their loss. We are poorer not simply for lives not led and for contributions not made, but also for the erosion of our sense of the worth and dignity of every individual. To diminish the value of one category of human life is to diminish us all. Slavery, which treated blacks as something less than human, to be bought and sold, if convenient, cheapened human life, and mocked our dedication to the freedom and equality of all men and women. Can we say that abortion, which treats the unborn as something less than human, to be destroyed if convenient, will be less corrosive to the values we hold dear? In 1984, the number of abortions in the U.S. alone was 15 million. As of 2020, Right to Life Michigan has a number of estimated abortions totaling over 60 million. What a profoundly large number of lives ended. Our brains fail to comprehend the deaths of over 60 million people. You can't wrap your head around it. I believe it was Joseph Stalin said, one death is a tragedy. A million deaths is a statistic. There's something numbing about such a large number. This cataclysmic destruction of human life continues daily around our country to lives when they are most vulnerable. Today, almost 40 years after this original proclamation, abortion is sadly still a hotly debated topic. Even among those who follow and worship the Lord, we still have debates over philosophical, medical, and psychological aspects of this topic, of this subject. Why is that? Well, there's a lot of reasons, I think, for that. But I think part of it is we get lost in the extreme arguments. We find ourselves arguing about rare and difficult what-ifs while forgetting the core truth of this issue. We miss the forest for the trees. Many find themselves confused with all the competing talking points and different sets of facts. In this confusion, it's very possible to forget the core truth of this issue. Now, what is this core truth? This core truth is found in the final question at the end of Ronald Reagan's statement. Are the unborn something less than human? That's the question. The answer to this question is the starting point for our answers to everything else involving abortion. It is also one of the primary points, I would say the primary point, that differentiates a biblical pro-life position from the cultural pro-choice one, as if the unborn are something less than human. Now, time today does not allow me to go through every scripture, let alone all the philosophical and medical arguments for a pro-life position, and there's a ton. For answers from medical science and philosophy, there's a lot of great resources out there. I could point you to, personally, I love the excellent book. I think they're coming out with a new edition this year, The Case for Life by Scott Klusendorf. And there's many other excellent books as well. Again, that's take advantage of the resources here. People involved in the issue have a laundry list of books and videos to really educate yourself on this topic. But I am not just addressing anyone today. Our service here at Shema is for those who are disciples of the one true God and those interested in becoming one of his disciples. If we claim to be disciples of the Lord, then we must seek our answers not from culture or TikTok or YouTube, but from God's word. It's a simple proposition. Now, there are many places we can go for our answer to the question if the unborn are human beings, but this morning we will be looking at just one passage, one of my favorite passages in God's word, and hopefully one of yours as well, Psalm 139, just verses 13 through 16. Now, this passage and all of God's word makes it completely clear that life begins in the womb at conception and that every human life has tremendous worth being made in the image of our Creator. So if you had any doubts about the Bible's position, you can put it to rest right there. In this Psalm of King David, we have declared for us the realities of the Lord and our relationship to him. In these verses, we see King David communicate clear, timeless truth found from just observing creation, and specifically the creation of human beings. And so we begin in verse 13. For you, referring to God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. The Lord is the creator of all things, and under all things are human beings. Each of us was formed in our mother's womb. Now, modern science has allowed us to see this amazing process in detail. I think of ultrasounds. Many crisis pregnancy centers have ultrasounds to allow mothers to see their child. It's a wonderful thing. And we can see in detail how we are physically created. Even viewed through our fallen state, it is an amazing testament to the intelligent design of the Lord. However, King David, who never saw an ultrasound, understood still that this was an amazing work of Adonai. He understood, as we do, that the forming of human beings is more than just some mechanical processes. This isn't some unguided evolutionary hand. We are more than just a random collection of cells on a randomly created planet. King David understood we were a product of an intelligent designer, which leads him to praise the Lord. Verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. King David praises the Lord that he is unique and made in a way that produces awe, the fear of the Lord. We read in Genesis 1 that human beings, people, are different than all the rest of creation because we alone are made in God's image. In a very special and unique way, every single human being, from conception to our death in this life, are a reflection of the Lord. In our fallen state, this image has become corrupted, but it could still be seen and still understood. All of God's works are unique, but again, it's only us that can claim to be in his image. So because we are made in his image, each of us has incredible value and worth, including those who are in the womb. Our value, and this is important, is not from our accomplishments or how we look or how pleasing we are to people in this life. It is not whether we are wanted by others. Our self-worth, our value, comes from being a creation of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's for all of us sitting in this room right now and those who are still within their mother's womb. The same Creator who has arranged every night sky, every beautiful sunset, every breathtaking landscape, has made us as well. Therefore, every human life is a wonderful, priceless work of art to be cherished. We continue on. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Now here we have the poetic language of Psalms. The secret place, the depths of the earth are just another way to describe the womb. Every baby is hidden away in their mother's womb. We are not able to see constantly as a child develops and grows. And I think this is part of the reason why it's so easy to dehumanize an unborn child, because they are not visible in the same way a child is after they are born. Part of the power of ultrasounds, being able to see these things. You know, when an abortion happens, the evidence of that abortion is taken away and hidden. It's not displayed. It's not as visible as the death of somebody, a loved one, out in this world. But just because we cannot see them does not mean they're not alive and real. Okay, just because I can't physically see something doesn't mean it's not alive. That's not how it works. The Lord who sees all things sees and weaves us together in the womb. Each of us was also created for the Lord's purposes, even if there are times we cannot see that purpose clearly. And these purposes are described as preordained, as we read in our final verse. Verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So the Lord not only sees our bodies as they are formed, but all our days are written in his book. The Lord knows the end from the beginning, and that every life has purpose and meaning. We often only assign worth to a person after they are born. When we see what they do or don't do, their accomplishments, their failures. Maybe you have felt worthless because of failures in your life. But that's not the biblical standard for self-worth. The Lord knows all these things, the highs and the lows, before they happen. You know, it is easy to discard someone we think has no purpose or one we do not like. But I think Ronald Reagan was right when he said we are infinitely poorer for the loss of those babies who have been aborted. Who are we to try and end or interfere with God's purposes? Is there any higher form of pride than to choose as a society to legalize the right to kill innocent children because of our needs and our desires? You don't need a theological degree, a master of Hebrew, to understand the simple meaning of this passage. And let me tell you, people who are on the opposite side of this issue will try to redefine the Hebrew and play all sorts of semantic games to try to make this passage say something it doesn't. Okay? It's clear in the Hebrew, it's clear in the English. We may use terms like zygote or fetus to medically describe an unborn child in a clinical sense, but it is clear from God's word that there is an unborn human being inside a mother's womb. Therefore, to paraphrase Francis Schaeffer, if we claim to be followers of God, we cannot affirm a so-called right to abortion without denying the authority and truth of Scripture in our lives. These two ideas are not compatible. You cannot be a pro-choice Christian or Messianic Jew. Just straight up. They're not compatible because you're denying the authority of God's word. And so that needs to be reconciled towards God's word. We have to submit ourselves to God's word in all situations, not God's word to our desires. It's just how it is. Now, despite Roe v. Wade being overturned by the Supreme Court, which is a wonderful thing, this battle against murder and dehumanization, because these things go hand in hand, is far from over. Like in all areas of life, disciples of Messiah Yeshua must bring the light of Scripture to a culture in deep confusion from spiritual darkness. And it's understandable why people who are not in God's word are confused about this issue. There's a lot of really great, and I say great as in well-produced propaganda to move you to a pro-choice position. Just like there's great stuff to well-produced stuff to try to argue that God doesn't exist and everything else. But we have to seek truth. And if we have the truth, we have the light of God, we need to share that with a lost and dying world. We must educate ourselves on this issue, which honestly is made easier by the vast amount of great teaching in print and video. There's so much stuff out there to do the legwork for you that is well-produced and well-cited and makes sense. We also need to make our voice heard in the electorate by voting for life and encouraging others to do so as well. But we must also be willing to have hard, honest conversations with those around us on this issue. I think this is the point we tend to shrink back. To bring it back to the truth that abortion is the murder of innocent children. Okay, yeah, I have family members that are pro-choice. When Roe v. Wade was overturned, I had a discussion with a close family member about this. They wanted to get into it with me. I said, you really want to get into this? They said, yeah, okay, we have a discussion. I was at my dad's deli. We had a sandwich. We had a discussion. You know, and I brought it back to this issue is, you know, we come from a fundamentally different presupposition. I believe children are in the womb, are babies, they're alive, they have souls, they have life and a right to life. And the person I was talking to believes the opposite. Until we are in agreement on this position, everything else is superfluous, right? It's all, that's the root. The rest of it is branches. So this is what we have to go back to. To bring it back to the truth that abortion is the murder of innocent children. All other issues and debates around this topic must start from this place, acknowledging that a baby in a mother's womb is not just a clump of cells or an object to be tossed aside. Instead, within that hidden place is all that is necessary for a human life to come into this world. We need to affirm the Lord has made each of us in his image and that we have infinite worth from being fearfully and wonderfully made. We must also affirm that it is the Lord who numbers our days and not ourselves. We have no place taking away an innocent child's right to life. These are not minor issues we can disagree on. This is not a third level doctrine. This isn't like a slightly different interpretation of Revelation. To believe that a right to abortion exists means there are parts of God's word that are not true. You can't hold both of those truths. We cannot call ourselves followers of the Lord and ignore his teachings when they go against society. We cannot undo the murder of 60 million human lives, and we cannot be complicit in adding to that incredible death toll. It is my prayer this morning that the sin of abortion would come to a complete end in this country and throughout the world. We heard about Israel this morning. That we would acknowledge the sanctity and sacredness of every human life. May each of us be convicted, comforted, and compelled to action as we wrestle with this crucial issue. Thank you.